Infowars.com is tomorrow's news today.
I am your host, Rex Jones, in the chair for you today, and I'm being joined by Anthony Graffio. Me and Anthony do a show called Conspiracy Talks every Tuesday on my X page, also on YouTube as well. Really appreciate you joining me, Anthony. We had a three plus hour conversation tonight about all the events that were unfolding. What's your take on what's going on right now? You're a very good news aggregator. You got any breaking news, any updates you want to give people? What's the situation look like?
Well, yeah, there's some breaking news that last night Iran was going to attack, but they actually stopped themselves from attacking to respect Pakistan. So if we're going to talk about moral armies, I would say that's the pretty much the more moral army, right? Like, they have the ability to go and carpet bomb and honestly destroy Tel Aviv overnight if they really wanted to. But they still feel, because they are an actual religious backed place that believe in their God, to not do something immoral and to try to follow the ceasefire, because they actually want peace.
Well, right. And we look at this whole situation, and like, the United States has proven that we are not a legitimate negotiating partner, because like, we've attacked in the middle of negotiations twice. You can argue, was it just Israel the first time? Of course, whenever the empire does something, like, we're like conjoined twins, like we're joined at the hip. Right. So like, we're both responsible. We're responsible for the 12-day war and this new invasion, of course. But we don't negotiate like Pete Hegseth said it himself. We negotiate with bombs. Right. But these other nations, they actually want to have diplomatic relations with each other. They actually want to talk. They actually want to act like adults. And we go like, we're too cool for school, man. We'll just kill you. Like, why would we actually engage in international diplomacy and an actual framework going forward? And I think you're really seeing with a nation like Pakistan. I mean, Pakistan has nuclear weapons. They're not playing around. So it's good to see other countries coming to the table that are actually, you know, bringing some reality back to the situation. Your thoughts?
Well, our allyship with Israel really serves us nothing, right? Like, if we actually created some like coalition with Iran, they have so much more to give us, whether it's, you know, their natural resources, their oil. They're like, we've been sanctioning them for so long because of this lie, but like, there's so much money and so much partnership to actually be built there. You know what I mean?
No, absolutely. And they're talking about Iran potentially being a $1 trillion economy, because they say, look, all the oil infrastructure is from the 80s. Like, it's all ancient stuff, because they've been sanctioned into oblivion. And this is the point I was making earlier on. We've already been at war with this country for decades and decades and decades, but just not in the way they say. They say it like it's kinetic, like it's been this battle of where we're at war with Iran. We lost more soldiers fighting the evil Iranians. That's not what's been going on. We've been in a soft power war, a cold war, a sanctions war with these people.
Yeah, for a very, very long time. And it's truly sad, because, like I said, Israel gives us nothing. We just give to them. Right. They're a cancer to us. They just completely suck us dry. They don't help us in wars. They don't give us any kind of resources. So it's like, Iran is the superpower in the Middle East, and that's just the fact. And what Israel and what Netanyahu has said over and over again is that, no, we are going to become the super nation. And they mean that on a global scale. Like, they want to be the top dog. And like, this is a place the size of New Jersey. And the only reason that they're able to do this is because of blackmail and because of their nukes.
Yeah, I was about to say that, the nuclear weapon. And they need the nuclear weapon to mimic the natural power that Iran has, being such a big, powerful ancient civilization, right? They're a fake new civilization. They use the nuclear weapon as their crutch. But the price tag for taking out Iran, because Iran is so strong, it would require using dozens, if not hundreds, of nuclear weapons. And if you do that, your state ends as well. So like, they're at a real impasse here. And I think that's why, you know, if they're saying, well, if we're not going to be able to move this way, if we're not going to be able to take you out like that, we're just going to go up north and try to take Lebanon. Like, they're just like, we're going to take what we can get. We're going to smash and grab whatever. We don't care. Why are they doing this?
Well, that's always been the plan. You know, I think Iran has been the smokescreen. Well, not just a smokescreen, because Iran will actually attack them back if they just go and try to genocide Lebanon like they did Gaza, you know,
right.
Because there's partnership there. And Iran is a superpower military compared to Israel. If America wasn't involved at all, then they would be destroyed by tomorrow.
Right.
But of course, we are their, you know, little goys that have to go and fight for them. But I think it's because, like, Lebanon is a part of the greater Israel project. And
ooh,
they're just, you know, they're like Pokemon. They're trying to collect it all over there. They're trying to rebuild Babylon. So,
yeah. Well, you know, let's go to the Pokemon trainer himself, Netanyahu. You know, we're all little Goyim inside of the Pokeball. Let's go ahead and roll clip 8, Netanyahu clip. I want to get your reaction to this, Anthony.
We have changed the face of the Middle East in favor of Israel dramatically, and will continue to do so because we are the initiating side. We are the fighting side. And with the help of God, we will be the side that wins.
So we're the aggressors, we're the initiators, we're the fighting side, we're the people that create all the problems. Your thoughts?
Yeah, like I said, they think that they are going to become the superpower of the world, you know. And their god is Baal, so they're praying to Satan. You know, this is what they practice,
and that's public.
Over there.
This is what they practice.
This is not a conspiracy. This is what they practice. What they've been practicing a long time. But they want to become the superpower. They want to have all the power, and the only way that they have that superpower is by keeping America. So once the MAGA coalition falls apart, and we actually have real people that are going to stand up against Zionism, the entire control that they have in our country will fall apart very quickly.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with that. And you look at it, and Netanyahu's even come out and said this. They go, look, this is the last time that we're going to have this political capital. This is the last time we're going to have all these old people that have been raised on the Schofield Bible and the dispensationalist theology. This is going to be the last time we're actually going to have them wound up to the degree where we can get them, the golem, to attack, right? Because the young people under the age of really 50 or 40, it's over with. Like even people my age, like dads and stuff, like it's over with those people as well. Like we've broken with it completely. A large portion of Gen X has broken with it completely. Even some of the boomers have, because the boomers will come after me. They'll go, Rex, like, you have to stop. Like, we hate the war too. And I'm like, damn, like it's hard to just lump everything together, but it is this power block in this country that was really like refined and cultivated and formed like a bonsai tree to support this one very strange, very weird. Actually, think about it. Here's the thing. We're over in America. We have this entire American history of the conquest and clash of civilization with Native Americans, of Revolutionary War, freedom from Britain, the Civil War, and slavery ending and all of that, and then the migration towards the West, the Manifest Destiny, all that stuff. We don't care about that stuff at all. We care about Israel somehow, because the modern state of Israel is the same as the one in the Bible, even though our Bible, New Testament, what it tells us is the temple's destroyed, is not to be rebuilt. It's just, it's not our story. It's not our problem. And if they wanted to be crazy lunatics and just fight these wars themselves, then you know what? In the same way I'd look at Iran and say it's not our problem, I would say it's not our problem as well. We set all of this up. Maybe talk about the Balfour Declaration a little bit if you get into that.
Yeah, I think like Theodore Herzl and all these people that created modern state of Zionism really knew what they were doing by naming that spot Israel. You know, this was an entire plan to trick Zionist Christians into falling for this. This has been something that's been going on for a long time. And yeah, the Balfour Agreement, you know, a lot of like wing nats and stuff are like, oh, you know, Hitler and da da da. But like, he kind of made the deal for them to go over there. Like,
yes.
So you really got to take that into consideration there, right? It's like, oh, the place that they're ruling from and still like destroying just the modern civilization of the world was given to them by the guy that was genociding them. Like, you know, it's an interesting ploy there. But I think, like I said, they knew exactly what they were doing by saying, oh, we're going to name it Israel. We're going to, you know, basically tell people that this religious ethno state is where the Jews are supposed to be. But then there's a lot of other Jews that have a conflicting argument who are more probably understand the religion. And they're saying like, no, we're supposed to be scattered through the earth. We're not supposed to have a homeland. Like it says in the Torah, like we're not supposed to have this homeland. And, you know, these Zionist Christians, they only get stuck in the Old Testament. And the Old Testament is the prophecy of Christ to come. Now, these people, they rejected Christ, right? They rejected the Lamb of God, right? The ultimate sacrifice, because they want to keep on sacrificing animals.
It's the rejection of the Old Testament as well. It's the rejection of the Old Testament. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And these Zionist Christians, they like the one thing that they always pull out on you is Genesis. It's like, hey, buddy, that's the beginning of the book. There's so much more.
We were watching that, man. We showed it at the beginning of the broadcast for people that have been watching the whole time. We were talking a little bit before I was talking to the audience about the Misfit Patriot Harrison debate and just like how ridiculous all that was. And he's like, well, I believe in Genesis. Do you believe in the gospel?
Okay.
Do you believe in the epistles? Like, do you believe in what Jesus said about the temple? Because the people on the side that you support, they want to rebuild the third temple. Like, it's time for a drink. You know, that's got to be included in my intermission screen going forward.
I love shows. It.
Man, and just look at Harrison. Look at how Harrison's looking into the camera.
Swag.
Are you serious right now? Are you serious right now? Cold. But yeah, man, I want to show you something else. I want to read you this article here, getting into another topic that's not just like Israel and the war. Anthropic's Claude Mythos model sparks fears of AI doomsday wave of devastating hacks. Anthropic has triggered alarm bells by touting the terrifying capabilities of Claude Mythos, with executives warning that the new AI model is so dangerous it would cause a wave of catastrophic hacks and terror attacks if released to the wider public. In a nightmarish analysis, Anthropic itself revealed that Mythos, if it fell into the wrong hands, could easily exploit critical infrastructure like electric grids, power plants, and hospitals. The model has already found thousands of high-severity vulnerabilities, including some in every major operating system and web browser. So, like, our entire civilization right now balances on the head of a pin. And we have these massive wars, these massive conflicts, whether it's Ukraine, Russia, whether it's U.S., Israel, Iran. We have all this stuff going on right now, all in the middle of Trump passing a 10-year ban on any sort of oversight, any sort of AI regulation, wiping it all out. And then these companies are creating tech that can literally destroy modern civilization as we know it. And then people aren't even talking about this. What are your thoughts on this?
So, like, before this war, I was super just loud about the police state that's being built in our country, this technocratic police state. You know, you have people like Larry Ellison saying that they don't need cops anymore, that they can use AI and send a drone to your house. Like, this is pre-crime, Minority Report. Like, this is all coming for our country. And Donald Trump is 1,000% complicit in it. He's giving these people the keys to the kingdom to build this infrastructure in our country. And AI, what is it even doing for us, really?
Right.
What does ChatGPT do for me? Nothing. Right. Like, maybe I'll ask it a question about health once in a while.
Isn't it fine, like, as is
random.
As well? Isn't it good enough? Right?
Yeah.
What else do we need?
Nothing. There's literally nothing there. I think this is just a way for them to create this new Bolshevik revolution in our country, where they'll be able to take over a lot easier if they have drones and AI and able to have capabilities to just, you know, like in what they did in Palestine. Palestine was the testing ground for this with Project Lavender. I think that's what's coming for America. And that's a very scary thought, man.
Yeah. And that's the thing. And that's why we talk about the struggle of the Palestinian people. And I'll always be proud to say free Palestine. And that's a simple statement. That's a statement of humanity and civil rights. Okay. And like, anyone that disagrees with me, need to examine what's been done to those people, because it's what's going to be done to you as well at home. What they want the AI for, of course, is for two reasons. They've had the mass surveillance, the mass collection of data basically forever. They figured that out, but they never had the means before to actually run through everything with a fine tooth comb. They could investigate everything, pull everything illegally, warrantless wiretap, you name it, but they actually had to have a starting point. They now have a Minority Report AI system that's plugged into everything. It's an AI of everyone's thoughts and dreams, like my dad said, and that's how they're going to be able to do the pre-crime of, oh, you have the illegal opinion, we're going to take you out. Citizen number 9873, you're going to the gulag pit. The other reason is they need the AI to be the soulless drone pilot for the robot dogs with the gun turret, for the FPV drones, for the crowd control drones, all that stuff that's coming down the pipe that they're working on right now. I mean, I talked about this before, and this story basically got zero airtime. They've already deployed humanoid robots to Ukraine. Okay,
yeah,
so
I saw that.
All of this is being tested right now. Right now. Your thoughts on that, Anthony?
Yeah, I think that they'll sell it to people like the movie Ready Player One, you know, like you're going to live in this like utopia.
Yeah.
Yeah, this utopia where you can go and be an avatar of whoever you want to be. You don't really need to spend time.
Yeah, because you can't be a hero in real life. You can't be proud of going outside and forest bathing and seeing the grass, seeing the stars, playing with your dog, having kids, having a life. You can't have that. You got to be some sort of like commando in a video game hellscape online. And that's really like that's what the demons want to do is they want to drag us down to their level of existence. Which is a fake projection. It's not real because they don't actually exist in the same way that we exist. They don't actually they don't have free will like we do. They want to remove that aspect of free will from us, and that's such a raw deal, is it not? Who wants to take that deal?
Yeah, man. Everybody's trying to play God. You know, they're trying to create this their own system where they can be God. And I think that this is also a part of like the transhumanist movement to like turn us into like these cyborg robots.
Sure.
And I think that if you accept this, this is basically like accepting the beast system because you're letting yourself be created into a beast, you know?
Sure.
It's a real scary time that we're living in. And I really hope people reject this stuff. You know, I do see just a little white pill. I do see a lot of people are not really interfacing with AI as high as they want them to be. So,
well, let me go ahead and read the article because it's so insane. The first part of the article, we went over how dangerous this is. It can target critical infrastructure. It can hack everything. Listen to this. Rather than a wide release, Anthropic, led by their CEO, Dario, has unveiled Project Glasswing. Now, what's Project Glasswing, you might ask? That's the plan to provide the model to a handpicked group of about 40 companies, including Amazon, Google, Apple, NVIDIA, CrowdStrike, and JP Morgan Chase, which will receive early access to Mythos. Oh, so they can, oh, it's so loving and liberal. So they can use it to find and fix security flaws. Oh, the corporate only rollout is likely Anthropic's. Oh, it's the best possible way to give it to the good guys to patch the holes, but not to the hackers. Most likely, of course, there's going to be leakage. Any level of restriction is preferred over complete open access. Ideally, I would love to see this not developed in the first place. Whoa. Okay. So the AI safety researcher says he doesn't want to see this developed in the first place, and it's not like they're going to stop. Well, shouldn't there be a mechanism to make them stop? If they're coming out with something that they're saying is incredibly dangerous, that shouldn't be released to the public or anything, shouldn't we do something about this? But no, we have to win the weapon war, the AI war against China at any cost, even if it means we're the ones that make Skynet that blows the planet out. It's Terminator. It's literally Terminator. Listen to this. That's exactly what we expect from these models. They're going to become better at developing hacking tools, biological weapons, chemical weapons, novel weapons we can't even envision. Think about that. What do you think?
It's disgusting. Well, I think that they just want to create a state that is just killers. You know, they just want to, even Trump said it, like he wants to become a militarized civilization. You know, he wants to boost up the military spending bill to trillions of dollars. They want to make these robots. They want to have these AI systems. Like, who are we trying to fight against? I thought like this is the peace president. There's going to be the board of peace and all of this stuff. So why do we need all of this technology to go and fight wars? Like Palantir is a war company. They're not a tech company. They're a war company.
Yes.
Okay. They are a militarized war company, and it will be used against the American people. You know, I don't want to go off on a tangent about ICE or anything, but ICE is implementing that system. They're the testing ground for that on us, right? They're testing the whole entire – because they have like I think a $30 million contract with Palantir to find illegals, right? But that always gets turned around against us, as you know from being – from this lifestyle for so long. You know what they did with the Patriot Act.
Sure.
First it was for terrorism. It's always first for terrorism. It's always first for the illegals. It's first always for the bad guys. It always gets turned around at the American people.
Yeah, no, they want to get their foot in the door. And you think about all this stuff, we could have been and we could still be, and that's what we're pushing for. We're always solution based. We could be the nation that ushers in a new age of non-proliferation when it comes to these like evil AI models, where we're actually, instead of doing these wars, we're doing diplomacy. We're doing like emergency summits around the world with the world leaders. You could say, oh, Russia and China will never listen and blah, blah, blah. How do you know that? Have we ever tried? Have we ever tried once? No. all we've ever done is try to scam and rob these people. But if we're actually able to say, hey, New START treaty expired, now there's no limits on the nuclear weapons for U.S. and Russia. China already is massively developing. They're already huge stockpiles of nuclear weapons. We're expanding ours. The Russians are also retooling theirs as well. Why do we have to do this? Why can we just not come together and say, okay, that was crazy. It's time for arms control. Let's get rid of these nukes. Let's get rid of these bioweapons. Why do we need bioweapons labs? Can someone explain? Because if we don't have bioweapons, they're going to have bioweapons, and we're not going to know what to do, and they're going to want to kill everybody. We're the ones that set all this up. And when China does something like COVID, we're the ones that allow it to happen. You know, Fauci funding the Wuhan lab and all of that, gain of function. It's just like every time you point at one of these countries doing something to us, it's something that we help them do to further our own interest. Do you not see that?
Yeah, we're the aggressors all the time.
Yes.
Like we've always been the aggressors. We've always been trying to be the bully and go over there and do what we want to that country. Like, you could say whatever you want about Muslims. I know you went on your little tangent before about it, but it's like, really, you have to understand something. Like, Muslim people, they just want to be left alone. Yes. Like, they don't like it, like it's just like such an insane thought to think that people say, oh, Iran is the biggest sponsor of terrorism for 47 years. They've been trying to get us. Well, why haven't they gotten us?
Right.
It's 47 years. That's a long time, man. That's a long time. If they wanted to build a nuke and all of this rhetoric that they're saying, they would have done it. They have some of the smartest aerospace scientists, okay? Right. If they wanted to make a nuke, they have the uranium to do it and they have the scientists to do it. They don't want to be the aggressors. They want to be left alone. They want to have their own civilization. They want to believe in their God. They want to do what they want to do. And there's just so much propaganda that's behind this entire thing. And that's always how it is. You know, it's the same thing with Saddam. It's the same thing with Gaddafi. We're always lied to. We're always put into this propaganda situation. And really, in my opinion, it really comes down to what happened with 9/11. You know,
go into that a little bit. We got like 3 minutes here. Go ahead and go into that for a little bit, if you would.
Well, yeah, for sure. Well, I just think that, you know, so many people got turned against Muslims during the whole entire 9/11 thing, when in reality it was Israelis that did it to us. You know, that they've always been our true common enemy, and they are using divide and conquer tactics to separate the world while they control the entire board. And this is something that they've been doing for a long time. And so many people in America are under this propaganda to think that these people that live in the Middle East are just sand people.
And I just had this not. Other thought. We always talk about wanting people to assimilate and to respect our culture and whatever. Like, I would love to be able to go visit countries like this. You know, I'd really love to be able to do it. But my government defames me with my own name, with my own money, and bombs these people. And it creates this relationship where America, like, even though we want to be people's friends around the world, the citizens do, like, it's just, can you imagine that having to deal with just some like fat American that shows up and your house was blown up 10 years ago? And you're just like, just imagine that, the arrogance on our part, thinking that we know better about other people's homeland. We barely know anything about our own. We don't protect our own values over here. We don't protect our own freedoms, our own rights. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's straight up what we're living right now, is just propaganda war, psyop war. You know, these people are very civilized people. They are very smart people. They have very high IQs. They have amazing infrastructure. And it's very traditional over there. They're traditional people. You know, we only believe that it's like, oh, they're putting women in burqas and this and that. You can go look at a video of a mall in Tehran, and you can see women are walking without burqas on. They're not walking around like the women over here that are dressed like they're going on to an OnlyFans shoot.
But they're not. They're dressed modestly. They have the hair out. Like, I've seen it. I watched Max Blumenthal's documentary on it. Everything we're saying here is true. And if you're in the Saudi Arabia, disagree with us or whatever, we're not asking you to believe us by faith. Go watch Max Blumenthal's documentary on Iran. I mean, look, they just blew up a synagogue, and there's photos of the Jewish leaders in Iran just like standing in front of their synagogue that was blown up by the Israelis. Okay.
So, you know, I have a theory on that.
Yeah. What?
Real quick, if I could, I have a theory on that real quick. I think they did that on purpose.
For sure.
I think they did that on purpose because they probably see Jews in Iran as traitors. Like, yes. What are you doing over there? You know what I mean? We'll make an example.
Well, it disproves the lie on its face that all Iranians want to kill all Jewish people. We know that's not true. They have a huge Jewish population. We're going to get into all of it and more. Your calls after the break. Rex Jones, Anthony Graffio, American Journal.
You just saw an ad for methylene blue. Tell people the short-term effect and then now the long-term effect.
Yeah, it gives you a good energy boost. I use it before I work out. So if I'm going to be doing kettlebell workouts, like I do some methylene blue about a half hour before. Gives you mental focus. I don't crash afterwards. That's good stuff. I need some more.
How fast did it kick in?
About 15, 20 minutes. I take about a half hour before my workout.
And then you're saying you're almost out of the bottle. Was that 3 weeks ago, a month ago?
Something like that. Give me the liquid and the pills, too.
You're almost out of both?
Yeah, I'm almost out of
both. Oh, my goodness. Well, all right. I'll give you more. Right. For the audience, we can't give it to everybody. We need your support, thealtersword.com. For me personally, the first week I got on it, I actually started to hurt myself because the workouts were so crazy. My trainer goes, dude, what's going on? Like 3 days into it. I go, I don't know.
I like it better than doing like a five-hour energy shot because those will make you crash afterwards. This doesn't have the crash.
See, that no crash.
Right.
If you'll just try it, you'll be hooked, and we can fund the operation. It's a win-win. Now's the time. Get the methylene blue, bare minimum, theoxystore.com.